or you can die." It was at this point that Rincewind became aware of a regular scraping sound close to his ear. It had an unpleasant, metallic ring. He half turned and felt the familiar and very uncomfortable prickly feeling of time slowing down around him. Death paused in the act of running a whetstone along the edge of his scythe and gave him a nod of acknowledgement as between one professional to another. He put a bony digit to his lips, or rather to the place where his lips would have been if he'd had lips. All wizards can see death, but they don't necessarily want to. There was a popping in Rincewind's ears, and the spectre vanished. Abrim and the rival wizard were surrounded by a corona of randomized magic, and it was evidently having no effect on Abrim. Rincewind drifted back into the land of the living just in time to see the man reach out and grab the wizard by his tasteless collar.
"You cannot defeat me," he said in the hat's voice. "I have had 2,000 years of harnessing power to my own ends. I can draw my power from your power. Yield to me, or you won't even have time to regret it."
The wizard struggled and, unfortunately, let pride win over caution.
"Never," he said.
"Die,"
suggested Abrim. Rincewind had seen many strange things in his life, most of them with extreme reluctance, but he had never seen anyone actually killed by magic. Wizards didn't kill ordinary people because, A, they seldom noticed them, and B, it wasn't considered sporting, and C, besides, who'd do all the cooking and growing food and things? And killing a brother wizard with magic was well nigh impossible on account of the layers of protective spells that any cautious wizard maintained about his person at all times. Of course, wizards often killed one another by ordinary non-magical means, but this was perfectly allowable, and death by assassination was considered natural causes for a wizard. The first thing a young wizard learns at Unseen University, apart from where his peg is and which way to the lavatory, is that he must protect himself at all times. Some people think this is paranoia, but it isn't. Paranoids only think everyone is out to get them. Wizards know it. The little wizard was wearing the psychic equivalent of 3 feet of tempered steel, and it was being melted like butter under a blow lamp. It streamed away, vanished. If there are words to describe what happened to the wizard next, then they're imprisoned inside a wild thesaurus in the Unseen University Library. Perhaps it's best left to the imagination, except that anyone able to imagine the kind of shape that Rincewind saw writhing painfully for a few seconds before it mercifully vanished must be a candidate for the famous white canvas blazer with the optional long sleeves.
"So perish all enemies,"
said Abrim. He turned his face up to the heights of the tower.
"I challenge," he said, "and those who will not face me must follow me, according to the law."
There was a long, thick pause, caused by a lot of people listening very hard. Eventually, from the top of the tower, a voice called out uncertainly,
Whereabouts in the law?"
"I embody the law."
There was a distant whispering, and then the same voice called out, "The law is dead. Sorcery is above the law." The sentence ended in a scream, because Abrim raised his left hand and sent a thin beam of green light in the precise direction of the speaker. It was at about this moment that Rincewind realized that he could move his limbs himself. The hat had temporarily lost interest in them. He glanced sideways at Kanina. In instant, unspoken agreement, they each grasped one of Nigel's arms and turned and ran, and didn't stop until they'd put several walls between them and the tower. Rincewind ran, expecting something to hit him in the back of the neck, possibly the world. All three landed in the rubble and lay there panting.
"You needn't have done that," muttered Nigel. "I was just getting ready to give him a really good seeing to. How can I ever..."
There was an explosion behind them, and shafts of multicoloured fire screamed overhead, striking sparks off the masonry. Then there was a sound like an enormous cork being pulled out of a small bottle, and a peal of laughter that somehow wasn't very amusing. The ground shook.
"What's going on?" said Kanina.
"Magical war," said Rincewind.
"Is that good?"
"No."
"But surely you want wizardry to triumph," said Nigel.
Rincewind shrugged and ducked as something unseen and big whirred overhead, making a noise like a partridge.
"I've never seen wizards fight," said Nigel.
He started to scramble up the rubble and screamed as Kanina grabbed him by the leg.
"I don't think that would be a good idea," she said. "Rincewind?"
The wizard shook his head gloomily and picked up a pebble. He tossed it up above the ruined wall, where it turned into a small blue teapot. It smashed when it hit the ground. "The spells react with one another," he said.